It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll hear the story of Sheriff Bob Dawson in today's Curious Wisconsin. The local TV star passed away last month, and we'll find out about the show that made him a hero to children all across western Wisconsin.
First, as the current lame duck Congress gets back to work, one issue on the top of their list is the proposed construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. Both houses of Congress have agreed to vote on the proposal and do it soon, with a vote in the House expected tomorrow, in the Senate early next week.
That's putting new pressure on President Obama, who has delayed action on the pipeline in the past. So getting the proposal passed now will force his hand into signing off on the bill or getting out the veto pen, either of which could have big political consequences.
Joining us now to talk more about this ongoing story is Ben Geeman. He's the energy and environment correspondent at National Journal. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the program.
So this Keystone XL pipeline, it's been a political football, very politically charged for quite a while now, hasn't really gone anywhere. Action may be coming up. What, briefly, is at stake here?
Well, you're absolutely right in pointing to it as a political football. And you know, if I could briefly mention, the politics of it are especially acute now in this lame duck session of Congress. And that's because there is a big Senate election that has not yet been decided. Senator Mary Landrieu, a Democrat from Louisiana, which is a very conservative state, is really fighting for her political life. And she's facing a December 6th runoff against a House Republican named Bill Cassidy. Now, what's going on is, Democrats are finally letting a Keystone bill come to the floor at the behest of Landrieu, because this could be seen as helping her in her as she heads into this very perilous runoff. So what's happening is that you're going to see, as you pointed out, the Senate voting on it next week, and it's a real question whether or not the combination of Republicans and pro-Keystone Democrats, you know, the Keystone splits the party a bit, can get to that magical 60-vote threshold to beat back a filibuster. And over in the House, they're going to pass it tomorrow. They've easily got enough votes to pass it there. If it can clear the Senate, the real question is, what does President Obama do? Now, the White House has declined to very firmly say that it would veto the legislation. However, speaking to reporters in Burma, where the president is traveling, the White House spokesman Josh Earnest came very close to waving that veto pen on behalf of his boss. He noted that the White House has taken a, quote, dim view, end quote, of this kind of bill in the past, and that its view on that has not changed. But we'll really have to see what happens with it. And again, it is a sort of very quickly becoming a very fraught political topic in this busy lame duck session of Congress.
Let's pan out a little bit from the contingencies of this week's politics. Can you talk about what this pipeline project is and how we got here?
Absolutely. So about 6 years ago, the pipeline company called TransCanada Corporation, which owns and operates a lot of different pipelines, they, you know, put out what seemed to be a fairly routine proposal to increase the capacity to take oil from these oil sands projects in Alberta, Canada, and bring them about 1,700 miles south down to refineries along the Gulf Coast, you know, in the Texas and Louisiana area. Now, this was sort of chugging along at the State Department rather uncontroversially, but as climate change issues have become more and more prominent, you had the environmental movement, especially a very feisty and aggressive wing of the environmental movement headed by a man named Bill McKibben, really seize on this issue and say, look, the more we pump these oil sands out, we get crude oil from the oil sands, the worse it's going to be for climate change, because it's very energy intensive to even get that stuff out of the ground, so it has a pretty high greenhouse gas emissions footprint. And in the view of environmentalists, building this big pipeline is really just going to be a catalyst for just locking in a lot more production of those oil sands. So rather quickly, a few years ago, this quiet pipeline proposal that was going through the regular kind of boring bureaucratic channels suddenly became the most hot-button environmental issue, and it's put a lot of pressure on the White House, in part because environmentalists are a big part of the Democratic and White House base. On the other hand, so are labor unions, and a lot of labor unions, not all, but a lot of labor unions really want this project because it would be, at least for a short-term period, a whole bunch of construction jobs. So the politics of this are very difficult, and Republicans have seized on it as a way to sort of hit the White House, hit the president, say, hey, here's a, quote, shovel-ready project that could go if only Obama would say yes.
Right. This has been a Republican political cudgel saying, we have these jobs ready to go, sign this thing.
That's absolutely right. It's been, you know, one of the top talking points and top political points for Republicans and business groups for quite a while now. It's really puts the White House in a fascinating bind because, I mean, Obama has been fairly clear about the fact that, you know, he just doesn't see this project as the environmental disaster that a lot of environmentalists claim, but he also has been clear in saying he doesn't think it's the big economic jolt that its supporters say it would be. So, you know, the president has laid out a few conditions for what it would take for him to approve the project, and one of the big ones is he said, look, I got to be convinced that it would not create a big surge in greenhouse gas emissions. Now, his State Department came out with an environmental analysis that largely made the case that whether or not you build Keystone, the rate of extraction of these oil sands is going to be about the same regardless. But there was just enough wiggle room in that report and just enough hedging in the report that it could, in theory, give the administration cover to reject Keystone. And, you know, whether they will is anybody's guess. I mean, certainly the president is trying to build his environmental legacy and a legacy on climate change in particular. On the other hand, you know, if generally the conclusion of that report that came out would support construction of the pipeline. So it's a real question as to what's going to happen.
So Republicans pretty much across the board, it seems like, support this thing. Given divisions among Democrats, though, if it's going to pass, if the president has to sign something, is this the ideal time to do it as far from the next election as possible?
Well, yeah, and I think the reason that this would be the ideal time to do it is, in part, look, if it's going to happen, you might as well do it in a way that sort of robs Republicans of being the ones who pushed it through. And if nothing else, give a sort of Hail Mary pass to, or Hail Mary attempt, I suppose, to rescue Mary Landrieu, who's probably, you know, who's facing a very difficult runoff election. But, you know, your point about the next election is a good one because I think the further and further this drags out, the more difficult it becomes for Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, I can't speak for Hillary Clinton, but I think it's a pretty safe bet that she does not want this thing dangling out there when she really launches her presidential bid.
So it is a weird thing, this long ongoing process that has come to a head solely in a way right now because of this runoff in Louisiana.
Yeah, it has been fascinating, and the politics of it has been really topsy-turvy. I mean, I don't think anybody had initially expected Democrats to bring up a bill on Keystone because they had spent years preventing a bill on the Keystone pipeline from coming up in the Senate, in part because, as we were discussing before, this is a really bad issue for Democrats. It really splits them. I mean, look, you've got a lot of the liberal lawmakers who side with environmentalists and say this is a bad project. On the other hand, you've got a lot of centrist Democrats and from some pretty conservative states who really want this project. That's like, if, for example, Joe Donnelly of Indiana is a Democrat, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. A lot of these redder state Democrats really do like the Keystone Pipeline. And, you know, some others do as well. You had Tom Carper of Delaware recently come out in support of a bill to approve Keystone. So, yeah, this really splits the Democratic caucus, and the politics of it are really, really tricky for them.
It's been a big week for energy politics, the U.S.-China climate deal earlier this week, and angry congressional response from congressional Republicans. Now this renewed fight over Keystone. We don't even have the new Congress in place yet. Is this a sign of things to come, a little foreshadowing that energy is going to be a big deal in the next Congress?
You know, I think it really is because for a couple of reasons. One is the most sweeping part of the White House climate change agenda has actually nothing to do with the Keystone Pipeline one way or the other. It's these very controversial Environmental Protection Agency regulations to finally put some mandatory carbon emissions limits in place on the nation's coal-fired power plants. Now, a lot of Republicans, including the incoming majority leader, Mitch McConnell, who's from the coal state of Kentucky, despise these regulations and have promised to confront them head-on. Now, the White House, this is where they seem to really be drawing their line in the sand. At the White House, I think it's almost impossible to imagine that President Obama would sign a bill that nullifies those EPA regulations. But you can, at the very least, expect this new Republican Senate and the existing Republican House, you know, already under Republican control, to really go after them with hearings and floor speeches and really go after them by attaching provisions to spending bills and in any way that they can. So that's one reason energy issues are going to be a big deal. And I think another is that there's been this very intense effort within United Nations negotiations to strike some type of new international climate change pact, and that's going to come to a head at some talks in Paris late next year. So in the entire run-up to those, I think international climate change issues and how the United States approaches those international talks, including with this new deal with China, are really going to be an increasingly prominent topic. I mean, look, I don't want to say it's going to be the biggest deal in the world. You know, climate change issues are never at the top of either party's political agenda, but certainly we're seeing an increase in the prominence of this topic. I think that's very fair to say.
Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
That was Ben Geeman. He's energy and environment correspondent at National Journal.